Up Straight. This is TheBillPod.com, the week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from San Francisco's social enterprise capital, the Impact Hub. Know the one in Fabrica? Yep, it's that place just in San Francisco. So, no dive bar, but better burritos. Today is Thursday, the 11th of January, 2018. On this date in 630, Muhammad conquered Mecca with an army of 10,000. In 1055, Theodora is crowned Empress of the Byzantine Empire, the last ruler of the Macedonian line. In 1787, William Herschel discovers two of Uranus's 27 known moons, Titania and Oberon. 1778, King Erekle II of Kartli and Kakheti dies. 1946, Secretary General of the Communist Party of Albania, Enver Hoxha, declares the People's Republic of Albania and formally abolishes the monarchy after 2 years of communist rule. Birthdays are Theodosius I, last emperor to rule both the eastern and western halves of the Roman Empire in 347, Abdullah Rahman III, first Khalifa of Cordoba in 889, and Mogdekhan, fourth Khagan of the Mongol Empire, responsible for conquering Iraq and Syria in 1209. Alexander Hamilton, founder of the famous musical, just kidding, founder of the American Financial System, Federalist Party, and the United States Coast Guard, New York Post, in 1755. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tpod.com or send us an email at tpod, T-B-L-P-O-D, at gmail.com. Tbilisi City Court found Misha Saakashvili, remember him, guilty of abuse of power in pardoning four Interior Ministry officials accused of participating in the 2006 murder of Sandro Ghirvliani. Ghirvliani was killed after an altercation with some high-ranking employees of the State Security Service, and the handling of the case by Saakashvili's administration was criticized internally and by institutions such as the European Court of Human Rights. The court sentenced Saakashvili in absentia to 3 years in prison and a 1.5-year ban on holding public office. United National Movement members have called the ruling politically motivated and referred to the judge in the case as a criminal following the orders of Bixanich Vanishvili. President Georgi Margvelashvili also commented on the ruling, noting concerns about the Ghirvliani case, but also criticizing the court's questioning of the presidential right to pardon. Saakashvili said that the ruling was evidence that the oligarchic governments of both Ukraine and Georgia are working in a synchronized and completely coordinated fashion with each other against me as a leader of the fight against corruption, the oligarchs, and the robbing of the people, end quote. Saakashvili is facing three more criminal cases in Georgia. Yeah, the Ghirvliani case, for those of you who weren't around, it was horrible. It was a guy who came into a party, a lot of drinking going on, said some very, very insulting stuff. And some goons from the Interior Ministry then took him out and killed him, probably tortured him and killed him or beat him to death. And it was really sad and horrible, and they should have gone to prison for a long time, but they were sort of insiders in Vano Medveshvili's Interior Ministry and were let off. Prosecuting Misha for abuse of power for pardoning them is unfair and unwise, but it was really the beginning of the end of the... and it was quite early on, it was only about a year and a half after the revolution, where it showed that sort of insiders, especially in the power ministries, would sort of be taken care of and were above the law. State Security Service has detained one more person in connection with the Ahmed Chatayev case. Ahmet, the district resident Zurab Idoidze, he's accused of driving from the Turkish city of Hopa to the Georgian border with members of Chatayev's group. Hopa is kind of the first big city beyond Sarpi on the road along the Black Sea coast to Istanbul. 19-year-old suspected terrorist Temirlan Machilakashvili died in the hospital in Tbilisi on the 10th of January after being shot in the head during the December Pankisi border special operation. His mother, Aiza Margoshvili, said that, quote, "We were going to transfer him to Turkey this morning and those fascists intentionally killed my son absolutely for no reason," end quote. His family apparently wanted to transfer Makalakashvili to a European hospital, but was unable to find one that would take him. His family rejects the terror accusations and accuses the State Security Service of violating the presumption of innocence by releasing video footage of him with other suspects. Prime Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili, speaking at a governmental meeting the next day, expressed respect for the case and condolences for Machakalikashvili's family, regardless of the outcome of the terror investigation. The State Security Service has also released more details about the case. A spokesperson said that four suspects, Ruslan Aldamov, Badr Chopanashvili, Ramaz Margoshvili, and Machakalikashvili, quote, organized the transportation of Ahmed Chatayev and his group members to Georgia, helped them with accommodation, food, cell phones, and other household services, end quote. While the fifth suspect, Zurab Gornakashvili, traveled to Turkey and drove with Zura Idoize and Chatayev's group to the Turkish-Georgian border and then provided assistance in Tbilisi. The SSS also released video footage of Machakalikashvili and three other men in a cell phone shop in Tbilisi, two of whom, Shoaib Borziev and Aslambek Soltakamadov, were killed or arrested during the November Isani special operation. They also found bank documents with Machakalikashvili's name and Chatayev's apartment in Tbilisi. Funding and assistance in assisting terrorist activities is punishable by between 17 to life in prison. Last week's pardon and release of Georgi Lukava, a native of Abkhazia's Gali district in Suhumi, sparked protests. He'd been sentenced to 20 years for murder and kidnapping while purportedly a member of the Georgian military group, the Forest Brothers, who carried out guerrilla attacks on the Abkhazian authorities prior to the disbanding in 2004. His release came after 7 years in prison. Lukava has denied all of the charges. The Abkhazian authorities noted that the release came at the request of South Ossetia as part of a three-way prisoner exchange process. Some reports say that he was released in exchange for Zura Zhiba, a suspect in the early 2017 murder of Beslan Fitsinaya in Suhumi, which started a blood feud that resulted in two dead and three houses burned down. Zhiba fled to Georgia. Foreign Minister Daur Kove said that the release was related to a 2016 prisoner exchange in which Lukava was meant to be released along with seven other Georgians in exchange for four Ossetian citizens, and that he was not released at the time for some unknown reason. Opposition groups, including the Amtsa Khara, Kiaraza and Einar parties, criticized President Raul Khajimba, calling the move a betrayal of the country's national interests and blasphemous. Several hundred people protested in front of the presidential administration building. Vice President Vitali Gavnia also questioned the move. The Suhumi legislature convened an emergency session on the 3rd in response to the protests and has formed an investigatory commission which is looking at the president's constitutional right to pardon, among other things. The commission has recommended that Khajimba suspend his head of administration, that the constitutional court be fully staffed, and then that all materials pertaining to Lukava's release be transferred to the court so that they may decide on the legality of the matter. The commission decision was adopted by Parliament on the 5th. The commission is also working on a draft law, quote, limiting pardon with regard to individuals having committed particularly grave crimes on the territory of Abkhazia, end quote. If the move is found to be unconstitutional, a two-thirds vote from Parliament could impeach the president, though the 35-member Parliament is mostly made up of Khajimba supporters. Khajimba stated that he supports the legislation but will not suspend his head of administration. He also met with protesters and criticized his opponents, noting that the pardons had been part of a process begun in 2015 that involved parliamentary approval. South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov released a letter in support of Khajimba, reiterating that the release came at the request of the South Ossetians. Analysts have called this Khajimba's worst political crisis. Some believe that the prisoner's release is just a pretext for the protests, as Abkhazians are growing discontented with stagnation and growing Russian influence in the region. Regarding U.S. Senator Rand Paul's recently introduced joint resolution relating to the disapproval of the proposed foreign military sale to the government of Georgia of Javelin missiles and Javelin command launch units in the Senate, it appears that his position on this and other arms deals is rooted allegedly in his non-interventionist views, being a libertarian with the first name of Rand, named after Ayn Rand, the well-known idiot. Regarding the Georgian Javelin deal specifically, the time when Rand Paul could have stopped the deal is over. The Minister of Defense of Georgia has received the letter of offer for the missiles, so protest seems to have just been to get it on record. No idea for whom he is doing that. Patriarch Ilya II's Christmas letter focused on drug policy. He called for the government to change its policies to be rehabilitation-focused instead of punishment-focused, and called for the opening of more rehabilitation centers for drug users and increased youth education, referring to addiction as a severe disease. President Margvelashvili, Prime Minister Georgi Kvitakashvili, and Parliamentary Chairman Irakli Kobakhidze all attended the Christmas liturgy where the letter was read. After the service, Margvelashvili said that we should come up with ways to ease the drug policy and make it more humane. Otsneva representatives found support for their policies in his statement and then also called for harsher punishment for drug dealers. Opposition figures also welcomed the opinion that drug policy has recently come in the spotlight quite a bit and have been criticized as more of a repressive tool than as an effective anti-drug program. European Georgia's Elena Khoshtania went so far as to say that the current drug policy actually incentivizes and promotes drug use. Members of drug policy reform group White Noise stated that the Patriarch's statement came a little too late, as the drug reform movement has been active in making changes for several years already. The fact that the Patriarch has now gone on record as saying this means that there's a significant likelihood that there will be a real revamping of this. Norway recently went with the Portuguese method of saying that there's no criminalization at all of any drug use, and we'll see what happens. Margvelashvili has appointed his parliamentary secretary, Anna Dolidze, to the High Council of Justice for a 4-year term. She'll replace Vahran Chedlishvili, another Margvelashvili appointee. The High Court of Justice is a 15-member body that appoints, dismisses, and disciplines judges. One member is appointed by the president. The rest are chosen by parliament or the conference of judges. During a statement, he said that the justice system has been the Achilles heel of practically all governments in the history of independent Georgia, which is indeed true, and that he hopes to build public trust in the system. Parliamentary Chairman Kobakhidze said that he was regretful that the president continues to nominate his staff members for independent positions. That's rich. I don't know what his issue is with Margvelashvili, but like, look at every single other appointment this government has ever made, but okay, whatever. Dolidze is a lawyer, former chairman of the Georgian Lawyers Association, former deputy defense minister, former law professor at the University of West Ontario. She was unsuccessfully nominated for positions on the Supreme Court and the European Court of Human Rights, but she is way more qualified than any of the appointments that I know of that have come out of Otsneva. Margvelashvili has appointed Anna Natsvilishvili to replace Anna Dolidze as his parliamentary secretary. She's another former chair of the Georgian Lawyers Association. Police have detained two people for the January 2nd robbery of a Eurobet gaming facility in Tbilisi, during which $64,000 were stolen. They've been charged with armed robbery, faced between 6 to 12 years in prison if found guilty. Two people have been sentenced for organizing the unrest in Batumi last March. Irakli Chirkvaya and Mehrab Gugubedidze and have each been sentenced to a year and a half in prison by the Batumi City Court. Both suspects denied the charges. Judge David Mamse Seishvili said that Chvirkaya was attempting to help the United National Movement participate in the riots, but stopped short of charging him with organizing group violence as the prosecutor requested. UNM and European Georgia representatives called for charges. Called the charges politically motivated. The Batumi unrest was a protest sparked by the parking ticket that grew to hundreds of people and resulted in 21 arrests. 18 pled guilty, reaching plea, and one other detainee, Lasha Dekanadze, was sentenced last November to 1 year and 3 months in jail on charges of hooliganism. Chirkvaya and Gogubedidze can take their case to the Court of Appeals. Journalist Tatia Sankharadze has become the first Georgian woman to win a sexual harassment case against her boss. TV host Shalva Ramashvili was ordered to pay her 2,000 lari for non-pecuniary damages. While he was acquitted of the case, pecuniary damages. Women's rights activists hope that the case will encourage other women to sue their harassers, which would be great. Shalva Ramashvili, you know, kind of funny, did some, like, you know, amusing stuff back in the old days, but has just become like a really annoying, corrupt jerk. It's not my favorite individual. So it's good that women are starting to target people. Let's, if anybody hears of any other cases, please let us know. South Ossetian President Anatoly Bibilov visited the Republic of Srpska, an autonomous Serbian republic within Bosnia-Herzegovina this week. He met with the Republic of Srpska President Milorad Dodik in the republic's capital, Nadja Luka, and participated in Day of the Republic celebrations. The government of Georgia sent a note of protest to the government of Bosnia-Herzegovina regarding the trip, to which Bibilov replied, "I came to the Republic of Srpska, not to Bosnia-Herzegovina." Ooh, ooh, ooh. He went on to compare South Ossetia and the Republic of Srpska, calling them twins, and noting that they have the same strategic partner, Russia. Srpska Minister for Economic Relations and Regional Cooperation, Zlatan Plocic, and the South Ossetian Foreign Minister, Dmitry Medoev, signed a memorandum of cooperation. Bibilov's United Russian Party and Dodik's Alliance for Independent Social Democrats also signed a cooperation agreement. Woohoo. South Ossetia is also planning on appointing an envoy to Srpska. The government of Bosnia-Herzegovina released a statement saying that they are not interventionist, but support Georgia's territorial integrity, and that they were not officially informed of Bibilov's visits, and thus had nothing to do with it. Before arriving in Srpska, Bibilov visited Ukraine's breakaway Donetsk region and Belgrade and Novi Sad in Serbia. Fish stocks off the coast of Abkhazia have dropped significantly, causing the Abkhazian authorities to reduce by half the amount of fish that may be caught, to 20,000 tons in 2018. Only 10,000 tons of a permitted 40,000 were caught last year, and research by the Institute of Ecology of Abkhazia and the Russian Azov Black Sea Scientific Research Institute of Fisheries has confirmed the decline. Most of the fish quotas go to six companies that process anchovies into fish meal and oil, while 15% go to Russian companies. Along with hazelnuts and citrus, fish is one of Abkhazia's largest exports. Between declining fish stocks and the impact of brown marmorated stink bugs on agriculture, this has been a hard year for exports. High taxes on gas in Turkey have caused an increase in petrol tourism. Turks from Ardahan province cross over into the Posof border crossing into Samska Javakheti, where they can save nearly 2 lira per liter of gas. It costs 15 lira across the border, so they purchase other goods that are cheaper on the Georgian side. Georgian wine exports for 2017 were the highest in 30 years, with 76.7 million bottles of wine worth about 170 million U.S. dollars sent to 53 countries. Export values increased by 49%. Export volume was up 53%. The largest consumer by far was Russia, which consumed 47.8 million bottles of wine, followed by Ukraine and China, which drank 8.5 million bottles and 7.6 million bottles, respectively. Strong winds in Tbilisi and eastern Georgia on the 10th uprooted trees, delayed flights, damaged property, and downed power lines, leaving hundreds of families temporarily without electricity. The Gudauri-Khobi Road section in the Stepanitsminda-Larsi Road that connects Georgia and Russia was closed on the 10th due to a snowstorm and low visibility. A number of cars were stuck in the road, but all the driver and passengers have been safely removed. A recent travel advisory by the U.S. State Department ranks Georgia as a level one destination, meaning it is very safe. In the region, Armenia and Georgia both rank safe, Azerbaijan level two, where travels should exercise increased caution and be aware of heightened risk to safety and security, while Turkey and Russia are both level three countries, where the State Department says avoid travel due to serious risk of safety and security. Georgia moved 15 places up to 53rd in the Hensley Passport Index, which ranks countries based on the number of places people can travel visa-free carrying that country's passport. The opening of the Schengen zone to Georgia in March 2017 contributed to the move. Georgians can now visit 99 countries without a visa. Germany ranked first. Afghanistan is last. A Georgian passport is comparable to one from Albania, South Africa, or Belize. The meme this week is a video of an upcoming version of a popular Civilization computer game featuring Georgia under King Tamar. It's been criticized on the internet for not making Tamar white enough, which is creepy and weird, but has nonetheless generated a fair amount of excitement. Eurasianet wrote about the impact of the death of Timirlan Machilakashvili, And what it, the results it might have on the residents of Ponkezi Gorge, anger about the shooting and authorities' handling of his medical care has created new tensions with the government and is in an already alienated region. New York Times wrote about and photographed the process of bringing the internet to mountainous and remote Tusheti, a region with just 50 year-round residents. The government of Georgia hopes that internet will facilitate the tourism industry and help provide better services to the area. It's incredibly beautiful, the photographs, so take a look at it. BBC Travel posted a short and critical video about the Stalin Museum in Gori, featuring a visitor whose grandfather died after being sent to a forced labor camp during Stalin's era. Post Pravda magazine wrote about a gay photographer, Lasha Fox Tsertvadze, and the challenges he faces as an artist taking mostly nude photographs of men and how changes in Georgia have affected his work. CNN Style listed Tbilisi on the list of seven design-savvy cities to invest in property in for 2018, calling it a Hollywood hipster hotspot. CNN also published a typical life on the border zone, creeping border piece about the Georgian man, Dato Vanishvili, trapped on the South Ossetian side, who lays flowers at the local cemetery for people on the other side, about another man, Mera Merkarishvili, who decided to leave when the fences went up around his home, and about a woman, Tamar Koreli, who lives in the no man's land between Georgian and Russian checkpoints. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 6, the number of ethnically Kist villages in Ponkezi. Duisi, Zibachevi, Jokolo, Shua, Khalatsani, Omalo, and Birkiani. On the 12th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the National Library of Georgia and the Civic Action Schools will host an event called Vin, Vinaris Iranshi, discussing recent events in Iran. On the 13th, Antique Cafe Corner in Tbilisi is hosting an acoustic blues night at 10 p.m. On the 16th at 6:30, the Georgian Foundation for Strategic International Studies will host a discussion in Georgian on events in Iran and their impact on the Caucasus. On the 16th and 18th, 8 p.m., Tbilisi Opera and Ballet State Theater will host Daniel Oren with opera fantasy featuring sections from Verdi and Bizet, among others. On the 18th at 5 p.m., Impact Hub Tbilisi is hosting a Meet the Ambassador event with the Austrian Ambassador Arad Benko. This is the last week to see Carlo Cacciarava exhibition at the Dmitry Shevardnadze National Gallery, which closes on the 20th. Cacciarava is allegedly Georgia's most celebrated contemporary artist. The Institut Français du Jiu-Jitsu in Tbilisi has a photo exhibition titled Tsikhaltubo, Beautiful Days, featuring images of the spa town from the 50s and 60s. The show is up through the 31st and opens every morning on the 11th. National Archives in Tbilisi will exhibit 3 sets of ancient manuscripts that were added to the UNESCO Memory of the World Register in the last few years, gospel palimpsests from the 9th to the 14th centuries, 8 other ancient manuscripts, and Bachushti Batonishvili's Atlas and Description of the Kingdom of Georgia. The exhibition opens every day but Monday, the 11th. Every day but Monday at 11 a.m. It runs through February 11th. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That's Tango, X-ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tfieldpod@gmail.com. Whoop! Post to the forum on our website, www.tfieldpod.com. And we will finish with, in honor of the Republican Party, from Alabama, 1961, this is Paul Williams and Titanic.
May the 5th was a terrible day. Great Titanic sailed away. I left my baby standing on the other side. I told my baby I'd be back alive. Titanic roared like a thundering herd. Just been struck by a small iceberg. Big ship rocked and everybody screamed. The sculpting sight I ever seen. Well, I came running, yeah, running from the deck below. jelly catching, there's the water coming. She's coming right through the flow. So I jumped in the water and began to swim. Told Mr. Whale I can swim faster than him. About the time the whale opened his mouth, I swam 5 miles north and 80 miles south. Well, I'm coming on back to the baby whale, faster than the Queen Mary. Swimming on to you, baby, your loving sends a message to me. I don't care who's the king of the ocean, shark can't swim fast as me, 'cause I was raised drinking muddy water, and I drank all the water in the sea. That's why I'm coming on back, you baby, well, faster than the Queen Mary. Coming on to you, baby, your loving sends a message to me.